and they left their nets, their boats, their family businesses of fishing, and began to follow him. And there's also this guy, Matthew, who was a businessman, known as a tax collector, and he made a lot of money in the financial sector. But he left everything, and he followed Jesus. And all the 12 experienced life with Jesus. They literally followed him from place to place, from boat ride to boat ride, from hike to hike, from Galilee down to Jerusalem and Judea. I mean, they went around and they did life with Jesus 24/7. Can you imagine having meals with Jesus, getting up and in the morning and praying with him and different things, total 24/7 with Jesus in their life. Watching the sunset together, one artist's depiction. But there were others who followed Jesus, who were looking for his touch of healing, blind, lepers, people who couldn't walk, and being carried to Jesus, and then he touching them and healing them. Crowds followed him, sometimes in the big city, and sometimes in very remote districts. There would be all these many, many people following Jesus, literally following him. But what did Jesus tell people to do if they wanted to be his followers? And that's what we're going to answer this question with three or four different answers from the Bible, from Jesus' words. What did he tell people to do if they wanted to be his followers? In 88 times in the gospel, we see this word follow. And I'm just zeroing in on four instances, but some of these are repeated. But let's just see these four things which Jesus told his disciples, told the people, if they wanted to be his followers, what they needed to do. First, you need to deny yourself and pick up your cross. Deny yourself and pick up your cross. I'm just trying to check the crowd. Is anybody wearing a cross today? Any crosses out there? It'd be easy for you to pick up your cross. So here's a guy holding up a little cross like this, you know. It's not a big one, but he's holding up a cross. But Jesus said this in Matthew 16:24. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, that anyone is you and me. If we want to be Christ followers, we got to do this. But what does that mean? Deny myself. Take up a cross. It's more spiritual meaning. It's not just physical meaning. But what does this look like? Just to put us in context, in Matthew 16, what has happened? Jesus is hanging around with his disciples, and he asks them a question. He says, "Hey, guys, who do you think I am?" Well, some people say you might be Elijah, brought back from the dead. Others are saying maybe you're this great prophet and great teacher. But Jesus said, "No, I don't know. Who do you think I am?" And this guy named Peter, remember Peter? I wonder if Peter Wong got his name from Peter the Bible. But Peter was asked, you know, and Peter said, "Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And on this rock I shall build my church," this confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what the church is all about. To clarify, this is the promised one, the Messiah. Now this discussion is taking place. And then Jesus, at that time, he says, okay, guys, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be executed on the cross. I'm going to be dead and buried, and then I'm going to be raised from the dead." And Peter said, "No way, God. No way. This is not going to happen. I'm not going to let this thing happen to you." And what does Jesus do? He says, "Get behind me. Get behind me, Satan. That is not what I'm here for. I have come to this earth to go to that cross." Now, if you're investigating Jesus, some of us in Express Your Faith training, we were talking about this on Friday night. Jesus several times predicts his death, how he will be executed, how he will be dead and buried, and then how he will be raised again on the third day. Right. I know no one else who've killed themselves or allowed themselves to be executed and predicted that would be happened, that would be buried and dead, and then be raised again. So as you investigate Christ, you become more and more clear that you only have three options about who Jesus is. He either is a liar, he's a lunatic, or what? Come on, guys, help me. He's Lord. Only a Lord could pronounce, I'm going to go to this cross and die, and then I'm going to be raised again from the dead before it happens. Anyway, Jesus rebuked Peter at that time, and that's when he said, hey, look, Peter, it's all about the cross, and as a matter of fact, anyone who follows me, including you, Peter, you've got to take up your cross and deny yourself. Joy, I like this one. This kind of helps me understand this deny yourself thing. Is Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Now that is hard to do. Now how do we do that? Because of the Holy Spirit who comes and lives in me. Okay, I go to the table at tea time. I've already eaten 5 cookies. Alright? Anybody ever eat cookies at the tea table? I've seen some of you guys grab a whole handful. But anyway, so I've already had my handful, but I'm still hungry. I bet that kind of thing which Dr. Maneuver was giving me. And I'm still hungry, you know. I haven't had my lunch, didn't eat breakfast, good breakfast. So I'm eating these cookies and biscuits. And then I go there, and I see there's only one left. And I look at it, and I see, oh no. Comes little Sam. He's so hungry. He hasn't had, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Just wait and see what Sam wants to do. You know, just let him go and eat cookies. Okay, Jesus, I'll do that. And then Sam doesn't get the cookie. And, okay, now I go get the cookie. Now Jesus, no. You wait a second. See if someone else should have, because you had 5, right? This is the kind of prayer talk that goes on in your head, in your heart. When you are following Jesus, you deny yourself. Now, a good Buddhist would say, get rid of all your desires, and you'll find nirvana. But you remember, big people, this is just a message for you. Little guys, you go to sleep for 5 minutes. Okay. We have 3 big desires working in our lives at all times. A desire to enjoy, a desire for pleasure. We have a desire to possess, a desire to have stuff, and we have a desire to have a good reputation. And these 3 desires are always operative. Now, you can suppress them, you can deny them if you want to, according to our Buddhist tradition, but if you're going to try to be a Christian, what do you do that? You deny yourself. Okay, these are my desires, Lord. Now, how do you want to fulfill them? So whether I eat or drink, whatever I buy, whatever job I take, whatever school or subjects I take, all of these desires I lay at your feet, Lord, and you guide me, and you tell me. And when it involves other people, my desires are kind of, you know, colliding. We got the cookie desire, all right, that's pretty easy, but maybe we got different desires. I want to lead this particular small group, and so-and-so wants to lead this particular small group, and we both want to do good things, but what do? You say, okay, others second, me last. So desires are going to be always operative in me and in me. But the point as a Christian is we deny it because we want to do what? We don't live for the passions. We don't live for the desires, but we live for the will of God. And the young people being baptized will learn more and more what that means as they grow in their faith in Christ. But for us adults, this is what we're getting at, deny yourself. And then what? You find yourself. You find your life. Because you're living the way God created you to be. The first and primary drive in your life should be your relationship with Him. The second one are those other things. But believe me, He does want to bless you, and you come to Him for needs, physical needs and possession needs. Okay, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Okay. Another point 2. What did Jesus tell people to do if they wanted to be his followers? Maybe now's the time to wake us all up. Let's all read this question together. Well, one thing was to deny yourself and take pick up your cross, okay? The second one is sell all and give to the poor. Hold on, Jake. I never heard this one. What are you talking about? Where are you going with this? Sell all and give to the poor. Well, let's explain that a little bit. Jesus said to him, well, who's him? If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. You remember this guy, the rich young ruler? Boys and girls, I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but there's this guy, he was rich, had a lot of money, and he was a ruler. He had influence in society. He was a shaker and a mover. He could impact Hong Kong government. And he had money. And you know what else he had on his side? Youth. He wasn't an old guy like me. He was a young guy. He had plenty of time to make sure his long-term plans would be achieved. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to, you know, inherit eternal life?" And Jesus explains to him, "You know what? You've done all these good things, and you know, honored mom and dad, and you loved others as yourself, and all this kind of stuff, and you've been really devoted to God, and all this kind of stuff. You know, there's only one thing you lack, just one thing, and that is you need to go sell everything you own and give to the poor. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and then come follow me." We sang a little song as we were giving today, "Treasures in Heaven, Store up Treasures in Heaven." Well, he walked away sad, because why? He was a very wealthy person. Now, Jesus doesn't tell each and one of you sitting here today, go sell everything. But he might be asking some of you, where's your heart? Is it wrapped around your possessions? Is it wrapped around your money? And the best way to tell that is how you use your money. Okay? Whether you're going to go out shopping for a little thing, women in my house shop for all kinds of things, with clothing or an art piece of artwork or whatever. You're going to go shop for that kind of thing. Or us guys, we're going to be thinking of big things, you know, like a house or a car or something. Talk it over with Jesus. Because this money I have is not mine, it's yours. Now, how do you want me to invest it? Because ultimately, everything I buy, including my clothing and whatever I buy, whether it's the big items or the little items, is what? It's for your glory now. I want to use monies to invest in your kingdom and give to support ministries and all this kind of stuff. And also, I got to use it to take care of my family. But are you involved in this? Because I know that when I use money wisely and God is involved in it, and He has my heart, it's I'm storing up somehow treasures in heaven. Because, this is Rick Warren's quote, "The way you store up treasure in heaven is by investing and getting people there." Yeah. So we give money to Hong Kong Medicare. This is Hong Kong Medicare money, right? To the Faith, Love, Hope School, which is being built to provide education for the Yi minority in Sichuan province. Kids who are pushed aside, marginalized, because they are from a minority ethnic group called the Yi people. And the principal of that school is a Christian. That's a little difficult these days, especially. How do you share faith with those under 18? But that's the challenge, and that somehow, maybe, we, by being part of this little bit, can help feed these kids, and some of these kids will come to faith. But Jesus said at the end of time, you know, when he's going to be judging, he's going to be asking, he said, you know, because you fed these people who were hungry, you fed me. So storing up treasures in heaven should be something we all are involved in. if you're going to follow me, your heart is going to be in heaven. Your treasures are going to be there and not on this planet. Okay, another time. Okay, your turn, guys. Help me out. It's an exciting question. I can hear your enthusiasm. This is the third time, right? We got one more. Hang in there. Okay, here we go. Follow me and fish for men. Matthew and Mark passages. We'll look at the Matthew 4. It says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Boys and girls, how many of you have really gone fishing, real fishing? Can you raise your hand? Boys and girls, old guys too. Yeah. Has anybody ever fished with nets? Really, you did it with a couple other guys and bring in the big fishes? Oh, okay. Yeah. I've kind of had a net, you know, one fisher, and you go with like that through the water and try to get one. But never these big net fishing stuff, you know, like some of our trawler boats or those big nets. You'll see them here in Hong Kong occasionally, out CB. Fishing with a hook and a line, a rod and a reel, you've done that, right? Benji, not Jacob. And put the brothers next to me. Benji, where'd you go fishing? Where? In Sydney. Did you go down by the ocean, or were you in a lake in the ocean? So you have one of these things? Yeah. Did you catch a fish? Wow, you caught one too. What did that feel like? Amazing. It is. All right, it's amazing. If you've ever been fishing, I wanted my children to experience it once, and Ruth helped me out. Did we ever catch anything in that trout pond? Or was that kind of a...
She was very small.
She was too small, she couldn't remember that, okay. Well, anyway, maybe Joseph did, but I don't have any vivid memories of them catching something and getting excited. But I remember when I caught my first fish with my dad, it was something. I mean, that little... We had a little floating red and white bopper, and he went down under the water. And we'll fish about that big, you know. But it took me about 20 minutes to get it back. But it was fun. It's exciting. Now you can imagine these disciples of Jesus, they've been out, and you know, they fished all night once, and just, hey, guys, you know, why don't you just cast it on the other side, you know. Lord, we worked all night, we really, but because you said so, we'll do it. And they do that, and then their nets are almost breaking full of fish. They had to have two boats to help bring in a load of fish. They were excited just catching little, you know, edible fish. But Jesus says, now, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And you talk about excitement. Philemon says, if you want to know the fullness of your faith, go fishing. Share your faith with others. See, Jesus doesn't want you to go out and stand by the bank alone or go out in a boat by yourself. He says, come, follow me, and let's go fishing. And I'll make you fishers. My dad had shown me how to put a worm on a hook. You know how to put a worm on a hook? Me neither. But my dad showed me, you know, and you could get messy, you know. But the fish like worms or something. And then you catch a fish, and then you cook the fish, you eat the fish, and it's just a blessing, right? Well, how much more so when you see someone come to know Jesus? So we've got to ask this question. What did Jesus mean when he said that? He meant, you know how to catch fish, and now it's time to learn how to win men's heart for the kingdom of God. And we're not looking for intellectual superiority here. We just want people to know the living and true God who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And God's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to faith and repentance and spend eternity in paradise. Okay, fishers of men. I did note here in my notes that for some of us, well, all of us are called to fish. And that's what we're doing in Experiences of Faith, trying to figure out, you know, how do we fish a little bit, you know, Express Your Faith is a little class we've been running on Friday nights. But if you've ever studied any evangelism type of course, that's the whole thing. He's trying to help us understand how to fish in this modern day time, how to share our faith with other people. We all should be involved in fishing. But some of us need to leave the nets. Mom and dads, I don't know how you're praying, but it is an option that your child grow up and not make the most money in the world. Instead, become a full-time gospel minister. Some of you children, God may call you. I want you. I want you to come follow me. I want you to leave your nets and come follow me. Give everything. And I'll take care of your financial stuff. Jesus said, anyone who seeks me and my kingdom first, you're not going to lack in all these other things that you need. And Bonnie and I are living testimony of that. We started out with nothing. We got a little something now that we're ending in retirement. And God has taken care of us one step by step by step by step. You can't ever leave things and not get blessed by God. Okay, so some of us may be called to leave our nets and go fish full-time fishermen. What did Jesus tell the people to do if they wanted to be his followers? Are we still awake? Hanging in there? Okay, check my time here. We're doing all right. Okay. He said, follow me and don't focus on others. John 21, 22. You'll have a verse on that? Yeah. When Peter saw him, here's Peter again. When he saw him, means John, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? I mean, John, you know, what? You know, Jesus has just told him, Peter, you know, you're gonna be led to places you didn't want to go, and when you get old, and it's going to be crucifixion for you. And Peter, as you know, according to tradition and history, church history, is that he was crucified upside down. And what Jesus said to him, he said to Peter, if it is my will that he remain, John remains until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So Brookie, I don't know what you're going to be when you grow up. I don't know what Addie's going to be when she grows up. You guys don't know how things are going to pan out. Some of you are going to have a hard suffering road, some of you not so hard suffering road. But don't compare each other. What do? You follow me. Don't you worry about, I mean, you pray for each other as good friends and you support one another, love one another, all those good one another stuff. We do that. But we don't get overly concerned. Why is that? Don't compare your life to others. You have no idea what their journey is about. You know, four cows out in the grass field in the hot sun today, chewing and trying to look for some shade, and there's the porpoise out there flying, right? Having a great time. So you just think, oh, if I was just a porpoise. Yeah. Don't go there. Okay. You and I, by God's grace, have heard a call. Come follow me. See, I have my two Hannahs down here, Hannah Kamadinada and Hannah Lau, Horace. Come on down, come on down. Addie, Sam, I mean not Addie, but Nathan, and who's the other guy? David, where'd you go? David McLeod. Come on down, guys. And if you want to, parents, if you want to, you can come on down too. Because what we're going to do is ask them a few questions, and then afterwards, these guys, I want them to be excused and after we need you in hiding. Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's see. There, all the baptism guys down here. Okay. This is Horace and Hannah Lau. Say hello there, buddy. Just wait. All right. Mom and Dad, you know these guys? Okay, yeah, there's Mom and Dad. They're up on the back row. And then David McLeod, Hey David, how you doing? Wait there, buddy. Wait, thank you. Now you can't hide anymore. Okay. McClouds, wave your hand on it. A big clam up here. Scott's not waving his hand, why is it? Okay, and then, what's your name? Oh, Addie Robinson? Who's Addie? Chris and Ed? And then we've got the Campesinatos, Nathan and Hannah. Can you raise your hands? Here we go. She said I pronounced her last name correctly for the first time. I don't think that was the first time, but I won't argue for a moment. Yeah. I usually say da instead of d, so be careful. Got a few questions. You see all these people following Jesus? Now that's not the original 12. These are guys today. Like Bonnie, you see the lady with the dog? That's just for you, okay? Bonnie's sentimental sort of dog. But anyway, people like us, we're not perfect, but we have some solid beliefs about Jesus. And we're following him. And this is where it all begins today. You're saying, hey, we follow Christ. We believe in Christ. So I'm going to ask you all these same questions, and then I'll give your answers, okay? All right, and that's all you got to do. Does anybody want to do a speech? Nobody wants to do a speech. Okay, all right. Stay here. Okay, where's our question? You're lovely young children, but would you believe, do you believe you're a sinner justly deserving the punishment of a holy God?
Of course.
He agrees to that, Hannah? Okay? Yeah. Okay, second question. Do you believe Jesus paid the penalty for your sin and is the only way to God? Yes. First thing he said is, what do you think, James? Of course I believe. Yeah, this is what we're here for. Do you trust Christ alone for your salvation and dedicate yourself to follow him? Not your parents is going to save you. Not just coming to church, but Christ alone. Do you believe that, Horace? This means yes, right? Okay. M-O-G. Okay. M-O-G. Are you committed to follow God's way and not your own? Now, this is a tough one. This is that thing of denying yourself and picking up your cross and following him. I'm not going to live for myself. I live for Jesus now. Horace, what are you up to? Yes?
Yes.
Don't be so cute. Yes or no? Yes, okay. Yes. Hey, Jesse, you got your hands full. Now, we've talked more seriously with your parents and with them in private, but this is just for you to hear their public declaration. And you've been very brave, guys, to be out here. I'd like to invite the elders to come down now at this time, and we'll prepare the communion table. And if you would, parents of these children, come on down, and you can be with them. This is their first time to have communion. And I want to have that privilege to serve you guys. And then everyone else, if you'll calm down, and we'll move towards communion. One more quick. I'll say this to you boys and girls, and as well as to the people sitting in the audience. In 1 Corinthians 11, we are exhorted to be careful that we do not take of this table in an unworthy manner. And the unworthy manner would be that you say there's something other than Jesus. God loves me because of something other than Jesus. No, it's just through the ways you can be friends with God. This is the Christian message. It's through faith in the finished work of Christ. It's all a gift. It's nothing we can do to earn it. So we come and celebrate the Christ. His body given for me, and his blood shed for me. Secondly, we could take, as Christians, take this in an unworthy manner if we think we are better than someone else. Now, I've been following Jesus since age 8. But there's a little gap in there with 8:23. I mean, okay, we'll go there. We're the same. Our faith is the same, and what makes us one family of God is Christ. Christ alone. So there's no one better than the other. So if you have come to that point in your life and you know, yes, Jesus died for me, and I trust him alone, we welcome you to this table. You don't have to be a member of our church. If you're not baptized yet, we encourage you to get baptized. It's what these kids are doing today to show, yeah, my sins have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ, which we celebrate here in a different way for believers. Let's pray and give thanks. Father, we do thank you for this table, which you've told us to do in remembrance of you. And now bless this, as this is the first time for these six young people. Thank you for their parents. Thank you for their families who are here today to celebrate. And now we can ask, come and bless. In Christ's name, amen. On the night that Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body given for you. And just as you mom and dad can feel your child's body, Christ had a real body and it was crushed. It was given for you and for me. And he said, eat this in remembrance of me. And likewise, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for many. For how do you get rid of sins and wash up? And this, all this water in the baptism pool is showing this is what Jesus did with his blood to cleanse my heart. So this is the cup of the new covenant. And he said, eat and drink in remembrance of me. And every time we eat and drink, we proclaim his death until he returns. Let's serve these baptismal folk first, guys, and then we'll invite the others to come down. Eat and drink in remembrance of him. And everyone else, let's come celebrate what Christ has done for you and for me, all of us.